Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein. Welcome to a tshuva a day, responsive a day for the 8th of Cheshvan. Today we'll do another tshuva, another responsive Avad Yosef, as we did yesterday. I have noticed that in the month of Cheshvan I found six, I think, so that's more than usual. I'll have to reduce it in Kislev a little bit. But Shuya Be'aomer, Chelek Zion, 7th volume, and let's be clear, that if we do 6 or 7 tshuva Avad Yosef, or even if we were to do that all year, we would not even have scratched the surface of the wealth of material that is to be found. But we're trying for a range, we're trying for trying to get a sense of a broad whole, not to get too attached to any particular meshiv, even as we'll use them as they come up. So in Yabia Omer, Chelek Zion, Volume 7, in the Yeridea section, Siman Lametet. So he wrote this actually on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Shvat. I could have left it for there, of Tav Shin Lamed Chet of 1978. And he's writing to Mar David, so we'll see later in the tshuva why the 8th of Cheshvan is where I put it. He writes to Mar David Seton, who was the chair of the Sephardic community in Jerusalem. I'm not sure what the communal structure was, but he's the Yoshev Rosh Va'ad HaSephardim. There's some kind of a committee of the Sephardim. He's the chair of it. And he was asked about moving the bones, basically, moving, exhuming Rav Moshe Montefiore, Moses Montefiore. He calls him, Rav Yosef calls him Asar HaTzadik, the righteous official, Rav Moshe Montefiore. And they want to bring his remains, that's the right word, that's the delicate, proper word, his remains to Eretz Yisrael and bury it in Har HaZeitim, bury them on Har HaZeitim, on the Mount of Olives. Is it allowed to do that? So Rav Yosef says he's been asked this question before by the Chacham Shlomo Gaon, who was the chief rabbi of the Jewish community of London, the Sephardic Jewish community of London, and he answered that he thought it was mutar, it was permissible, and not only that, he thinks it's a mitzvah, because burial in Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to see, is a value, it's a mitzvah, as he says, according to what the Ramban wrote in the Torah HaAdam. The Ramban in Torah HaAdam is a remarkable work that appears in Kitvei Ramban, in the two volumes that Rabbi Dr. Chevelle printed many years ago already, but it was an important thing to put the Ramban's writings and make them more accessible to people. So in the Torah HaAdam, which starts with the laws of visiting the sick, goes to the laws of the moment of death, burial, mourning, and then a very famous Shaar HaGemul about reward and punishment, and he gets into there about what Olam HaBa is like, what the world to come is like, and things like that. So in Torah HaAdam, the Ramban says that it is permissible to exhume a body, to move a person who had passed away from his grave. He gives two conditions in which it's permissible. One is to bury them in Eretz Yisrael, and the other is to bury them closer to his forefathers. So let's say, God forbid, or sadly, somebody passed away in one place. At the time that he or she passes away, they couldn't move the body, or they couldn't get to the family burial plot wherever it was. So that was another reason. So if the family was generally buried in Germany and this person passed away in Spain, at the time you couldn't get them from Spain to Germany, but later you can, it is permissible to exhume them and move them. That's the Ramban had said. So there's two things there. There's Eretz Yisrael or the family. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins as well. Following a Gemara and Ketubot, the Gemara and Ketubot says that Kol HaKavur be'Eretz Yisrael, anybody who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's like they're buried under the altar. And the reason they get that in the Gemara is because the word Mizbeach is used in connection to Adama. It's called a Mizbach Adama. When Hashem in Shemot is talking about making a Mizbeach to Hashem, it says Mizbach Adama Tasali, make me an altar of dirt. So why it was called of dirt is discussion in the Gemara. It's because the insides were dirt, so it was connected to the ground and never moved once it was built in the Beit HaMikdash. But then at the end of Ha'azinu, at the end of the Shir of Ha'azinu, it says V'ne'emar Hashem V'chiper Admato Amo, which means his land will atone for his nation. So the Gemara in Ketubot is saying the connection between land and land, the reference to the Adama, is telling you that burying Israel is like being near the Mizbeach or near the Mizbeach. And that's too, the Rambam writes it as well. Somebody who's buried near Israel gets kapara. It's as if, the Rambam writes, as if the place where he's buried is like an altar that provides atonement. And he quotes the verse, V'chiper Admato Amo. But then the Rambam adds, important for all of us to know, especially those of us who have not yet had the good fortune to move to Eretz Yisrael, we should know that it's not the same to get to Eretz Yisrael when one is alive as it is to get there after passing. Meaning, it's true, let's say my father, Alav HaShalom, passed away suddenly, and my mother, she should live and be well, was clear that we should bury him in Eretz Yisrael, and we moved him to where his mother was buried, to a family, sort of a family plot already, buried in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not the same, the Rambam already said, as if he, if it would have been true that he would have had the good fortune to move to Eretz Yisrael during his lifetime. And therefore, the Rambam says that even though that's true, Gedolei Chachamim, the greatest sages, would bring their deceased for burial in Eretz Yisrael. You can learn that, he says, from Yaakov Avinu, from Yosef. But remember that Yosef says it when he knows it's going to be hundreds of years until he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, but he extracts a promise from his brethren, which Moshe Rabbeinu later fulfilled. The Torah goes out of its way to remind us that Moshe Rabbeinu went to fulfill it, to bring the remains of Yosef HaTzadik to Eretz Yisrael, because they knew that burial in Eretz Yisrael was extraordinarily important. That Rambam, by the way, just to throw it in, some of it will come up later, but I just think it's worth always reviewing, because unfortunately we live in a time when it's both relatively easy to move and build a life in Eretz Yisrael, and yet, people still find all sorts of reasons not to live there, and find all sorts of ways to exclude themselves from Eretz Yisrael. So I just point out that the Rambam himself says that a person should always live in Eretz Yisrael. This is based on the Gemara. That same Gemara could do both, even in a city that's majority non-Jews. So today, Kal Vachom would be a city, city majority non-Jews. Let me leave it there. That's what he says. Rather than living in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city that's majority Jews. Because anybody who leaves Eretz Yisrael, it's like they're worshipping idols, and he gets that from David HaMelech, who complains when Shaul's chasing of him forced him to leave Eretz Yisrael. What David HaMelech says is, Ki gershuni hayom. They evicted me mishtapech bar Hashem from being in a place where Hashem is, telling me to go worship other idols. And one of the punishments the Rambam points out is Vilad Ma Yisrael Lo Yavo, they'll never get to Eretz Yisrael. So back to the Rabbia Omer. So therefore, it's clear that it's a mitzvah to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because there's a deep value to being buried in Eretz Yisrael, even if one didn't manage to get there in one's lifetime. Rav Yosef continues, and that's all the more so true for Moses Montefiore, because it's well known how much he valued Eretz Yisrael, what connection he felt to Eretz Yisrael, what connection he felt to the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. He worked hard, Montefiore worked hard for the sake of Jerusalem, and he helped build new neighborhoods in Jerusalem and new shuls in Jerusalem so the people would have places to live and room to live and be able to make a living, and they wouldn't have to starve or they wouldn't have to beg. He was especially connected to Talmidei Chacham, to Torah scholars, trying to make sure that they had what to survive off of, what to live off of. And says Rav Avadia Yosef, and he was an observant Jew, we have a record that the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel, the Rishon LeZion, that's a position, the Rishon LeZion is a position that goes back hundreds of years. The Ashkenazic chief rabbi is a more recent position. I think Rav Kook might have been the first one. I don't remember for sure, but I think Rav Kook might have been the first one. But Sephardic chief rabbis go back hundreds of years. So in the late 1800s, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel was a Rabbi Rifal Meir Ponyazil. And Rav Avadia Yosef says that he, Rifal Meir Ponyazil, had given a special drasha, a special speech in honor of Moses Montefiore on his 100th birthday. And there, he was talking about some of his great characteristics, and among the things that he says there was, and today, the 8th of Cheshvan, of Tav Resh Mem He, of 1884, is the 100th birthday of Moses Montefiore. So that's part of what caught my eye in this tshuva. That's what we're doing it on the 8th of Cheshvan, because it turns out that we now learn the 8th of Cheshvan was the birthday of Moses Montefiore. And now, going on, Rav Yosef, going on from that discussion in that the earlier Rishon LeZion, before Meir Ponyazil had, was he said he gave large amounts of money for a Karen Kayemet Lahalvot, for like an endowment for a loan fund, and he gave a lot of charity, and he also came to Eretz Yisrael. He put his body into good deeds. So in Tav Resh Aleph in 1841, there was a blood libel in Damascus, and they imprisoned the leaders of the community with its rabbi, the Gaon Rav Yaakov Antebi. This is Rav Meir Ponyazil talking about something that happened like a little over 40 years earlier. They put him in jail, and they tortured them, and they beat them, and some of them died there. And Montefiore, with other leaders, with other wealthy people, who came, this is what Rav Meir Ponyazil says, Asher Nilvu Elav, who came with him, meaning he was the one who took the leadership position on this. They contacted the king, and they might have gone there to Syria to discuss it with him, and the king agreed, acceded to their request, and freed them immediately. And he also did that several times. He went to Russia to meet the Tsar in Russia to try to improve the position of the Jews in Russia. And sometimes it was a dangerous event, maybe on the road or in the meetings. And he did several of these things in order to help Jews and save Jews. So that's all part of the praises of Montefiore. So we see that Moses Montefiore is a man who everybody respects, who lived a very, very good life, a very dedicated life, a very generous life, was a benefactor of many important causes, especially in Eretz Israel, especially in Yerushalayim. So it's a mitzvah, Rabbi Yosef says, to bring him to Eretz Israel. Except that, for all the Ramban says that we're allowed to move to Eretz Israel, Rabbi Yosef now points out that there's actually a machloket in the Yerushalmi. There's a debate in the Yerushalmi about whether or not we're happy when people send or bring their deceased relatives to Eretz Yisrael. There in the Yerushalmi, this is Yerushalmi in Kilayim, in the ninth parak in Halacha Gimel, the Yerushalmi says, Rebbe Bar Kiria, or Kiria, it's Kufyud, Reshud Aleph, I would think it's Kiria, I'm not sure, that people who bring their dead, their deceased, from outside of Israel to bury them in Eretz Israel, he thought the relevant verse to apply would be Vatavau Vatitamu et Artsi. So literally, means you came and you defiled my land with your sins. But he's saying that you're with your dead. But in that Gemara, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, no, that once they get to Eretz Israel and we put the dirt of Eretz Israel upon them, we can apply the pasuk as we saw before, Vechiper Admato Amo, that the land will provide atonement for Hashem's nation. In that Yerushalmi, they mentioned that Rav Huna passed away in Bavel, and they buried him near Rav Chia in Eretz Yisrael. So again, as Rav Yosef now refers back to that Rebbe without saying it, even though it's not the same as having gotten there while alive, getting there once passed away, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that there is a naicha for the person who passed away. There is a benefit in being buried in Eretz Yisrael to get that merit. And therefore, there's a mitzvah. And Mari Beirav, who's an important figure in the late 1500s, he was one of the Rebbeim of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo. There's a story about him that he was in Egypt. He writes that he was in Egypt, and he was asked about a person who had passed away. And the person who passed away had not specifically said he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the question was, should they bury him in Eretz Yisrael anyway? So he writes that there were some other rabbis there, and they had a discussion about it, and our understanding was that they should bring him to Eretz Yisrael, and that's what he writes. And so Rav Yosef adds, and we know that Chazal allow person to be buried, to be exhumed and moved in order to be buried in a family plot near his, you know, fathers and forefathers, near his ancestors. The Rav Yosef says, "Shenoach lo la'adam liyot ninoach et levotav." There's some kind of a pleasure or benefit or calmness or serenity. It's not exactly clear in being buried near these relatives. That's a topic of its own that I'm not sure I know enough about really to comment intelligently on. But I think it's true that Jewish tradition, especially since we believe in the immortality of the soul, and I believe the soul continues after death, that there's it's meaningful to talk about what the soul enjoys and what benefits the person who had passed away. So one of the things would be to be buried near family, near relatives, but all the more so, Rav Yosef Karo, to be buried in Yerushalayim. So it happens to be, this is all good, except there's a Zohar, which follows the other opinion of Yerushalmi, and which applies to people who become to be buried in Eretz Yisrael after they're passed away, that other verse of Vatavo'u Vatitame'u et Artsi. You're coming and defiling my land. But, Rezif says, but it's well known that wherever you have a debate, wherever the Zohar writes and contradicts our Gemara, and there are such cases, so wherever that happens, we follow our Gemara. We follow the Gemara, we don't follow the Zohar. And so too, Rav Yitzchak Frank had a case like that. Rav Yitzchak Frank is somebody we've seen together in Tshuvot, and he was the Rav Yerushalayim for many, many years, passed away in 1960, so he had that question. Somebody asked him about the Rebbe from Karlin, the Karlina Rebbe, who had not specifically commanded or given orders or expressed a wish to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and so he was buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. But then some of his Hasidim wanted to bring him and move him to Eretz Yisrael, and others objected. And And so Rav Sipisapar was asked the question, and he, based on the Shulchan Aruch, and there's also a tshuva in Rav Levi Ibn Chabib, it says that it's good to be buried in Israel. And they said, yeah, bury him in Israel. So the people who objected said, but there's this Zohar. So they thought about it again, but they nonetheless came to agree that we don't follow the Zohar where it contradicts the general, the regular halakhic sources, and therefore, in our situation as well, Rav Moshe Montefiore was a man who very much valued Israel, valued Yerushalayim, and did all he could for them, and therefore we should in fact exhume the body and bring it. Now, we're going to see in a second, I'll just say it now, Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with this plaque. He had just before Rav Yosef is writing this, he had written and spoken about it, and he had written about it, and given a verbal answer. He thought it wasn't true for reasons we'll see in a second. But one of the reasons he gave was that Rav Moshe Montefiore had said to be buried in London near his wife, who had already passed away. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you can't move him from his wife. He said, you want to be right next to his wife. So Rav Yosef says, obviously, you can bring his wife with him, and you can bury them next to each other here in Yerushalayim, because she supported him, and she was part of all this as well. So for sure, we should bring her remains as well. But then, now, he says, I say, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, there's an Igret Moshe Yeredeya Gimel Kufnun Gimel, it's from the 9th of Sivan. He said, he disagreed. He thought you couldn't do this. And one of his central reasons is, he gives a couple of reasons. One reason is the whole idea that you can move somebody to go to Eretz Yisrael, or Moshe Feinstein says that's only when it's the children who want to do it. But if others want to do it, even though they intended for the benefit of the person who passed away, then we don't do that. That's not the halacha that we have. Not only that, but he says it's a problem that these other people, the reason why he thinks that's true is that if children do it, we know why children will be paying attention to their parents' fate and situation and not to others. But if other people mix in, right, if just random Jews in London are seeing the graves of the Montefiores and saying, oh, it's so sad for them to not buried in Israel, I want to help them be buried in Israel. So I say, oh, that's nice. But Moshe Feinstein said the problem is that they're stimulated by that need, but not by the need by lots of other righteous people, many of them Torah scholars. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Torah scholars certainly should have a prior claim to Moses Montefiore, because for all the good deeds that Moses Montefiore did, these Torah scholars are the ones who gave us Torah, and we still drink their waters today, and it's like an implied denigration of them, that we don't pay attention to them and bury them. So this is actually a broad comment that I want to notice for a second, and then we can go back to the Moses Montefiore situation. Then he adds also, and he said he should be buried next to his wife. That Rav Yosef said, well, you can bring the wife with him, and that'll should work out for all of that. And Moshe thought you couldn't, because he thought you couldn't go against what he had said explicitly, especially since it's got this implication that we care more about them than about Torah scholars. Now, the reason why I find that so interesting, Rav Yosef is going to disagree, we'll get to that in a second, but the reason I found it so interesting is because that raises a general question of, let's say somebody wants to do something that's good, but there's other better important things to be doing. What do we do? Do we let that desire for the other important things outweigh what we're doing now, even at the risk of not doing that other thing? Meaning, you know, let's say a man comes to me and says, I want to do X good deed, whatever it is. And I say, you know, that's a fine deed. Listen, the man says, I want to go and spend 3 hours every day doing Bikur Cholim. I have gotten attached to visiting the sick. I'm going to go to the hospital every night for 3 hours visiting the sick. Now, and let's suppose, for the sake of the argument, that I think it's also important to learn Torah regularly. And I say, listen, I'm tempted to say, listen, go visit the sick for 2 hours or for an hour and a half or for an hour and learn Torah the other hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it is. And so, what if the person will say, I'm not going to do that? The question is, yes, 3 hours of visiting the sick or nothing. How would you answer that question? Not such a simple question, because sometimes you say, well, at least we'll get this out of the person. At least they'll do this good thing, which is good. But sometimes you say, well, but the ramifications of that are problematic. So that comes up, I think, in a lot of other contexts that I can get into, because our discussion is this tshuva, because we're here at a response of a day just dealing with these issues. If you want to hear more issues, about more of my thoughts about this, I'm happy to share with them. You can always email me questions that you have, grothst@gmail.com. But But that's something that motion sort of implies. He's saying you can't bring anybody to Eretz Yisrael because it sounds like, unless you're the child of the person who's passed away, because of the implication for all those others. Rav Yosef, even though here and elsewhere, he refers to Rav Moshe Feinstein as Mofet Hador, the sign of the generation, the wonder of the generation. It's a title he uses for others as well. He thought of that. He used that sometimes. I've looked it up about Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank as well. But it's a sign of his great, great respect for Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said it was like really, literally one generation before Rav Yosef. But even though he has great respect for him, it doesn't mean that he has to follow everything that he says. So he says, I don't think he's convinced me, because I don't think it's any difference that the children or other members of the family, if they want to do a nachat ruach for this person, to, when he throws in, latzilo mitzar mechilot, to save, what's the value of moving somebody who's already been buried to Eretz Yisrael? So one of the values that he points to is there's a tradition that when Mashiach comes and when Tekiyas HaMeisim happens, when the resurrection of the dead happens, so the Jews buried outside of Israel will be resurrected with the dead, but the Gemara says there's no resurrection of the dead outside Israel. So what will happen? There'll be like these tunnels that will spring up, and the bodies will be tunneled through them throughout the world. So in other words, they'll have to travel, and there's some sense that the people who inhabited those bodies will have the experience, will have pain from. It'll be like, you know, if you were to lie down in a tube and to be go on a bumpy train track all the way there. So something like that is the Tsar of Mechilot. So by burying somebody in Eretz Yisrael, they can be resurrected from the dead right there, and there won't be this Tsar of Mechilot. So everybody says, anybody who's concerned for Moses Montefiore's pain and trouble can do this. And it's not anything to the other Gaonim, to the other Torah scholars, that nobody's doing it to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. It's just about him. In other words, Rav Yosef is saying, if somebody comes along and has a good idea, wants to do a good thing, and it's a good thing, the fact that there are others who theoretically should be in line first, but nobody's taking care of them anyway, he says that's not something we have to pay attention to. Meaning, Rav Moshe Feinstein might have been right if the state of Israel, for example, were to say, or some philanthropists were to say, I think this is an important thing to start getting the remains of Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm willing to give $1 billion to start doing this process of bringing remains to Eretz Yisrael, let's say. So question one could theoretically have been, is that the best use of $1 billion of Jewish philanthropic money? Different discussion, different time. We're not getting into that here. But in that situation, Rav Yosef sort of implies that if then we were going to make our list of who should get moved first, there Rav Moshe Feinstein could be correct, that we should first pick all those who are well-known rabbanim. Even there, you'd have to pick, you know, who? How do you decide what's a well-known rabbi, whatever it is. But there's room to have this savara, the idea of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Yosef says, but the fact that these people got it into their heads that Moshe Montefiore was somebody who they wanted to move, there's no implication there. And he says, and we had a similar situation. It's not quite the same situation, because the person we're going to name is, in fact, was a great Torah scholar himself. So that could be different. Rav Moshe Feinstein could have responded that was different, that all the Torah scholars of Eretz Yisrael agreed that it was valuable to remove the Chidah. The Chidah was an important Torah scholar who was born in Yerushalayim in 1724 and lived much of his life in Yerushalayim, but he passed away in Livorno, Italy, on a trip there. Right, starting in 1755, Wikipedia tells me, because he was such a Torah scholar, he was a shliach for the Jewish community of Israel, and he would travel around Europe making an impression there and collecting funds. In 1778, he got married a second time after his first wife had passed away. So when he got married the second time, he married somebody, a woman, in Italy. And he had hoped to get back to Israel, but it seems like he didn't. He remained in Leghorn, we call it today, in Livorno. And he was publishing his works, and he passed away there 28 years later. So he had lived in Yerushalayim, he had lived in Eretz Yisrael, he'd been an emissary of Eretz Yisrael, but he passed away in Livorno, Italy, and in Leghorn, and he was buried there, and then they exhumed and removed the remains to Eretz Yisrael, even though the descendants weren't interested in it, they weren't mentioning it, but nobody said, oh, you're going to move the Chidah, how can you move the Chidah when you're not moving so-and-so? Now, of course, there, Rav Moshe Feinstein might have said, but the Chidah is clearly a scholar of rank, and therefore, there's no degradation to anybody else, meaning then already gets to the question of, how do you value Torah scholarship versus what Moses Montefiore did for the Jewish people? people, but Rav Yosef doesn't get into that. He's just saying, he's just inferring from there that, see, if we have people who are interested in moving a particular person, that particular person deserves to be moved, we don't need to look at the broader picture to figure out exactly who deserves to be moved more than who. Then whom? Then Rav Yosef, the Rav Moshe Feinstein said, but he said he wanted to be buried in London. So Rav Yosef says it's true, but it could be that if we had only had a chance to explain to him the value of living in Eretz Yisrael, being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and how it would save him from the tunneling and all the things that it would do for him, that's Rav Yosef writes, then he probably would have agreed with us. You said, no, you're right. You should exhume my wife, bring her to Israel, and we should do it all. As the Chidah had a case, interesting that's the Chidah, because he was eventually exhumed and brought to Eretz Yisrael. The Chidah had a case in Chaim Sha'al about a man who had commanded, different thing, but he had said, don't put any marker on my grave, right? And the Chidah said, don't listen to that. Why? After the man passed away. The man passed away, and then the question came to the Chidah. He said, don't listen to it, because he says, if you had only had a chance to tell him and explain to him what it does for the soul, that there's markers on the graves, he certainly would have changed his mind. That comes back to an issue that we saw yesterday, about Yosef, the whole question of what do we assume people would have agreed to or not agreed to if they'd only known better. We saw yesterday with the question of, we said majority rules, not fully, because if they haven't gotten a chance to sit together and talk together, then maybe they would be convinced by the minority view. Here, Yosef is understanding the Chidah. The Chidah is giving an example of where we say that this is so clear to us that we can even ignore what people said otherwise, because if we only had a chance to explain to them, they would have agreed with us. So that's the kind of a claim that can certainly be taken very, very far or not. Here we're taking it as far as saying that even if somebody had said, bury me outside of Israel, they'd only known they would have agreed to being buried in Eretz Israel. And the Ma'al Nachat said explicitly about even a somewhat of a Torah scholar, somebody who's a little bit knowledgeable, who makes it known he doesn't want to be brought to Eretz Israel, nonetheless you can bring him to Eretz Israel, because the Rav Levi Ibn Chaviv said that now are times that there's nobody who's such a great Torah scholar that if they say something that goes against all of the poskim, all of the consensus of what people believe, who had written about how great it was to bury in Eretz Yisrael, that it's a Mizbeach Kapara and it's atonement, and therefore Rav Yosef says he thinks that yes, you should bring Rosman to Eretz Yisrael and you should do all these things and you should help him out. So that is some of what's important about it, about the burying of Eretz Yisrael. There are other tshuvot that I saw that are relevant to this topic of, you know, the Tashmit says the tshuva about, is it true that whoever walks into Eretz Yisrael gets atonement for all his sins? So he doesn't really say that it does, but he says it's a wonderful thing. So this is all connected to remembering and keeping in mind how important Eretz Yisrael is. While it's better to be there, to settle there while alive, even if one doesn't have that great good merit, one should remember to be buried there, because that produces something, because we follow the opinion of Yerushalmi that says, which, by the way, the Aruch HaShulchan applies to burial even outside of Israel in terms of the preference for having the body directly in the ground with nothing underneath it, that the bottom of a coffin ideally should be removed and buried directly in the ground. But certainly it's even more true of Eretz Yisrael, v'kiper ad mato amo, and that is a tshuva of Rav Yosef that we apply to the 8th of Cheshvan, which was the birthday of Moses Montefiore, and the question of how valuable and wonderful it is to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Responsible day for the 8th of Cheshvan. Have a great day.